If you have your Bible with you tonight, I would ask you to turn, please, to the Old Testament book of Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament. We're turning to Genesis chapter number 19 and beginning our reading at the verse number 12 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 26. Reading tonight from Genesis chapter 19 and commencing at the verse number 12. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this evening. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord have sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "O, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now the city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live?" And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape hither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." Therefore the name of that city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Amen. We'll end our reading there on verse number 26. And we pray that God will bless the public reading of his inerrant and eternal word to all our hearts this evening. Now, the little text of scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting, it consists of four words that you find in the middle of verse number 17 of Genesis chapter 19. And simply these words: escape for thy life. Escape for thy life. On one occasion, whenever I was visiting a person in a residential home, the fire bell sounded within the confines of that home. And with the sounding of the fire bell, suddenly there was a lot of commotion among residents and staff. But thankfully, it was only a fire drill. No doubt if it had been a real fire, when that bell sounded, then there would have been much disturbance, not only with residents and staff, but also members of public would have been doing all they can and all they could to escape from that building as quick as possible. Well, our text here this evening in Genesis 19 and verse 17 has often been described as God's fire bell to Lot. Genesis chapter 13, it tells you about Lot and his family going to live in that wicked city of Sodom. And Sodom was a city noted for that vile and wicked sin of sodomy. Now the sin of Sodom did not go unnoticed by God. And God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plain, by raining fire and brimstone upon them. However, in his sovereign grace and love, God was going to deliver Lot out of that and from that judgment. My, the Bible tells us how God sent two angels to warn Lot of the coming judgment. And they tell Lot to leave with his wife and with his two daughters. And initially we're told how Lot lingers, so the angels lay hold upon him and upon his family. And they bring them forth out of the city. And when they are brought forth, the angel speaks to Lot here and his family in verse 17 and says, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." But friends, this evening, as well as being a warning to Lot and his family to get out of Sodom, these words, in particular the words of our text, "Escape for thy life," and the gospel, are also a warning to every sinner to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and as the only remedy for their sin. Friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're still unsaved, let me say this: this is God's warning for you in this gospel meeting tonight. As God speaks to your heart through his word and says to your heart through this little text, "Escape for thy life." Friend, God is speaking to you and he urges you to flee to Christ, to flee to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the saving of your soul from hell and for the pardon of all your sin before Almighty God. Yes, it was a warning, no doubt, to Lot and to his family. These words are also a warning to you in this gathering who are still unsaved and still out of Christ. As we would consider these words of warning to Lot tonight, the three simple thoughts that I want just to share with you and leave with you from this text. First of all, we can say this evening that these words, "Escape for thy life," they warned Lot that Sodom was the place of danger. They warned Lot that he was in the place of danger. The message here to Lot was this: escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. These words were a stark warning from God to Lot that he was in the place of great danger. Yes, he must escape this doomed city. Yes, there was nowhere in Sodom where he could hide. He was in a place of extreme danger. In Sodom, there was no shelter, there was no safety, there was no refuge from the pending judgment of God that was to fall upon that city. Likewise, dear unsaved friend in our meeting tonight, please understand that you too are in a place of grave danger. As you sit in this meeting unsaved, and as you remain in your unconverted state, oh, realize you're in a place of danger tonight. Friend, if you do not lay hold upon eternal life and through Jesus Christ, then you are doomed. My, your soul will be damned in a lost eternity. Your soul will perish in hell. Yes, there will be no hope for you on the day of God's judgment when you stand before Almighty God, still unsaved, still unconverted. The Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Your soul will perish if you're found unsaved in the day of judgment, or if you die unsaved, there'll be no hope for you. I'm sure we can all remember back to those terrible events in September 11, 2001, when those two planes crashed into the Twin Towers of New York in the United States. And all on board those two planes perished. There was no hope for anyone whatsoever upon those two planes as they were flowing in to those towers in that particular occasion. There was no hope. All were lost. All perished. And likewise, dear friend, unsaved, please understand, you too will most surely perish. If you remain unconverted, if you remain unsaved, you will perish in a lost sinner's hell. Oh, friend, understand tonight, unsaved, you're in the place of danger. For there is no safety for you in unforgiven sin. It matters not who you are. It matters not what your sin is or has been. Yes, you may live, as it were, on the clean side of the broad road. But if your sin is unforgiven, if your sin is not pardoned by God and through the precious blood of Christ, my, you'll perish in a lost eternity in hell itself. The Bible says, without shedding of blood is no remission. And without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied by faith to your heart, there is no remission for your sins. Your sins cannot be forgiven. You have no hope for eternity. You have no hope of God's salvation. You have no hope of deliverance from a lost eternity in hell. Oh, friend, there's no safety for you tonight as you sit in this meeting with your sins unforgiven by God. Also, friend, understand that you're in the place of danger because there is no safety for you in unforsaken sin. You see, you must escape for your life from every sin, from all sin. You see, the Bible says, and Christ here is speaking, he says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he says those words twice over in the space of two short verses in Luke's Gospel chapter 13. Friend, you must repent of your sin before God. The Bible says God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Please understand that God's salvation is a salvation from sin. Christ came not to excuse sin, but he came to save from sin. Remember the message of the angel to Joseph about the coming of Christ into this world. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, friend, to go on unrepentant, you're in the place of danger. To go on living without your sins forgiven, you're in the place of danger. Oh, friend, you're in the place of danger because there is no safety for you in the place of unbelief. Perhaps here you're in the meeting tonight and maybe you're taken up with the folly of unbelief. Despite even a religious veneer in the outward form of your life, maybe inwardly in your heart there's that awful sin of unbelief. Maybe you're taken up with the folly of evolution or the atheist. Maybe you don't believe that God will one day call you to account for your sin. Maybe you don't believe that one day God will judge this world for its sin. Oh, please understand, dear friend, that such unbelief is wrong. For the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the day of judgment. There is a day of judgment. There is a day of reckoning with God. There is a day of accountability. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, God have appointed Christ to be the judge of the world, to be the judge of man, to be the judge of sinners. As someone has once said, as death leaves us, judgment finds us. There is a day of judgment. Don't be fooled by the unbelief of men who live as if God did not exist. Men who feel they can sin with impunity and live without a thought or care of God. There is a day of judgment, a day of reckoning, a day of accountability. Maybe as you sit in this meeting tonight in your unconverted state and your unbelief, you say, yes, there's no need for me to trust in Christ. I can be religious. Surely that will be good enough to get me to heaven. Oh, friend, such unbelief is wrong. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If you do not believe in Christ as Savior, you'll perish in your sin. Christ himself says, he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Oh, if you are to be saved, you must flee from the awful sin of unbelief. Unbelief will damn your soul in hell. Also, dear friend, understand tonight that you're in the place of danger, in your unconverted state, because there is no safety for you by trusting in self-righteousness for your salvation. What does the Bible say about our self-righteousness? It says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before Almighty God. They count for nothing before God as far as our salvation is concerned. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. By all our righteousness cannot save. You turn in your Bible, please, over to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 18. And here the Lord Jesus Christ tells us about the publican and also about the self-righteous Pharisee. Here was a man who was religious outwardly before the world in that time. People would have looked at this man and said, there's a religious man. There's something God-fearing about that man. He would have lived outwardly according to the rites and ceremonies of the Jewish law. But inwardly he was depending upon his own self-righteousness for salvation. Look at what he says in Luke's Gospel chapter 18 and the verse number 11. Christ is speaking about this man. He says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He was comparing himself with the publican, the old tax collector. He says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And then the Lord turns the picture around. He says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then look at what Jesus says in verse 14. He says, I tell you, this man, that's the publican. He says, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Rather than the self-righteous Pharisee who boasted, who rested upon his own self-righteousness before God. Oh, friend, understand here tonight that self-righteousness, no matter how righteous we may think ourselves to be, cannot save your soul. Friend, to rest upon your righteousness, your self-righteousness, you're in a place of danger. Yes, someone has once said, to depend upon your self-righteousness is the surest way to a lost sinner's hell. There is only one person's righteousness who can make you right with God. And that righteousness is not in yourself or in anything of man. But that righteousness is the perfect righteousness of God's dear Son, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one of whom the Bible speaks of and says there was no spot nor blemish, who was altogether separate from sinners, the one who is Jehovah Sekenu. Friend, if you're depending tonight upon your own righteousness and your own self-righteousness before God for salvation, please understand tonight that you're in a place of awful danger, because your self-righteousness will not save your soul, will not fit you for heaven, will not make you right with God, will not save you from the wrath to come. Yes, these words escape for thy life. They warned Lot that he was in the place of danger. Likewise, unsafe friend in her meeting, man, woman, young person, tonight they would warn you also that you are in a place of grave danger. But secondly, tonight as we move on, these words escape for thy life. They also warned Lot that nothing or no one was to allow him or to hinder him from leaving Sodom. Nothing or no one was to hinder or be allowed to hinder Lot from leaving Sodom. As the angel spoke here these words to Lot and said, "Escape for thy life." The message was this: Lot must allow nothing to hold him back from getting out of this place of danger, from getting out of this place of sure and certain judgment. I want you to think about that. Lot must leave his friends and his acquaintances that he had made in the city of Sodom. My, no one must be allowed to entice him to stay in that sinful, wicked place where the judgment of God was soon to fall. No one was to be allowed to hold him back or hinder him. And here on, see a friend in our meeting tonight, likewise, you must also allow no friend, allow no acquaintance, allow no relation or person that you know to keep you back from Christ, to keep you back from being saved. You see, the Bible says the fear of man, it bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. The fear of man bringeth a snare. My, just as Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife, so dear unsaved friend, you too must leave behind all those who would try to hold you back and prevent you from being saved and getting right with God. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 14 and the verse number 33. He says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." And there the Lord was emphasizing the need that no one is to be allowed to hold a person back or hinder them from coming to Christ and becoming a disciple of Christ and a follower of the Lord. Over the years, I've heard many Christians giving a word of testimony. And oftentimes, many will tell in their testimony how they allowed others to keep them back from Christ, keep them back from being saved and getting right with God. Oh, friend, don't you make that same mistake. Don't you allow others, no matter who they are, to keep you back from God's salvation and the blessing of Christ as your Savior. Yes, Lot, he must leave the friends and the acquaintances that he had in Sodom if he was to flee this place of danger. But also he must leave behind the comfort of Sodom. You remember that Lot had pitched his tent, the Bible says, towards Sodom. He had set up his home there in Sodom for many years. No doubt, while he lived there, Lot had invested time and money in that place where he now was living and where the judgment of God was about to fall. But he must leave it all behind if he is to be saved, if he is to be delivered from this place of certain judgment. Unsaved friend, the lesson here is this, that you too must let nothing, yes, nothing off this world, whatever this world may try to afford you, let nothing of this world hold you back from being saved and getting right with God. Remember the words of Christ. He said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hold to the one or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. I was warning those there to whom he was speaking that they cannot follow the world and follow Christ. Friend, do not allow anything of this world to hold you back from coming to Christ for salvation. Do not let your business hold you back. Do not let a love for money hold you back from being saved. Do not let the pleasures of this world hold you back. Let nothing of this world keep you back from God's salvation in Christ. Friend, far better for you to be poor. Poor as far as this world is concerned and be in heaven, than for you to be rich as far as the world is concerned and your soul to be lost in hell. Better to be poor in the family of God and sure of heaven than to be rich and your soul lost and a lost eternity forever. Oh, friend, tonight I pray that your response in the gospel will be like that of the hymn writer, who said, "Take the world, but give me Jesus." Don't let the world hold you back from becoming a Christian. My, the world has nothing really to offer you. It's all window dressing. Do not barter your soul for the things of this world. Henry Goodyear was a very wealthy man, a man who was well-to-do in the age in which he lived. And a family friend had a burden for his soul that he might be saved, and invited him out to hear Mr. Spurgeon preach the gospel where he preached at that time. And the family friend brought him to that gospel meeting, but Spurgeon was not there on that occasion. But the man who was preaching preached upon a little text from the book of Genesis chapter 5. And it was these words that he preached upon. "And he lived and he died, and he lived and he died." Mr. Goodyear heard that message and he went home, and God began to speak to him. God began to deal with his heart. And he realized that all the wealth and all the standing that he had in the world could not save his soul. He realized, yes, that he would live, but that he would also die. And that if he died unsaved, he would be the poorest of the poor. He'd be poor for all of eternity. Praise God, he heeded the speaking voice of God. He realized that his riches, his standing, society could not save his soul or fit him for heaven or make him right with God. He turned by faith and he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be a Savior. Friend, let no one hold you back from being saved. Let nothing of this world hold you back from being saved. But there's something else here to note, and we can say also of Lot that he must leave behind all the arguments and all the excuses for staying in Sodom. No doubt Lot could have made many excuses for not fleeing the city, but if he is to be saved, he must set aside all those excuses. He must, as it were, put his best foot forward. And he must get out of that city of Sodom as soon as he could. He must flee. He must make haste. He must set aside every argument. Friend, unsaved tonight in our meeting, you who are still unsaved, not converted, not ready for heaven, if I were to ask you the question tonight, why are you still unsaved? Why are you still not right for heaven? Why are you still not ready to meet God? If I were to ask you the question, what would your reason be? Maybe you'd give excuses. Maybe your excuse is that I've really no time to be saved. Oftentimes I've heard people say that, as I've spoken to them about their soul. And oftentimes they'll tell you, "I have no time to consider those things." Or maybe you'll say, "I'm too busy. I have too many things to tend to." Is that your excuse? Oftentimes people have said that to me. They're too busy. Maybe it's because of some friendship, some relation, someone that you know, some companionship. Maybe that's holding you back. Maybe that's your excuse tonight. Or maybe you might say, "Oh, I've been offended by some Christian, by something that they've said or something that they've done in the past. I want nothing to do with God. I want nothing to do with God's salvation." Is that your reason tonight? Your excuse for still not being saved, not being right with God? What's the excuse? What's the reason? You remember those in the parable of the Great Supper that the Lord spoke of in the Gospel of Luke chapter 14. And the servant was sent out with the invitation to invite those to the great feast, the great picture of the Gospel feast. And the Bible says they all with one consent began to make excuse. They made excuses for not coming and partaking of the great feast. Friend, I encourage you tonight, I urge you, put away all your excuses, whatever those excuses are, and trust in Christ and rest upon his finished work alone to save your soul. The Bible speaks of Christ and says of Christ, "But this man offered one sacrifice for sin forever." Christ, when he suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary, He provided all that was needed and necessary for you to be saved from the awful ruin and plight of your sin. My, the all-important question is this: what will you do with Jesus? When you stand before God on the day of judgment, God will ask you the question, what have you done with my Son, Jesus Christ? Pontius Pilate, he asked that question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? It's very interesting to note, but if you read through the Bible, the Gospels, and those who were concerned about their soul, that they never came to Christ, they never got saved, you'll see that they put up many, many excuses for not getting saved and not getting right with God. Friend, do not allow any excuse of man or of the flesh or of yourself keep you back from being saved. Lot, yes, could have put up many an excuse before God for not leaving Sodom. Friend, do not allow excuses to keep you back from the blessing, the bounty of God's salvation. Yes, these words escaped for thy life. They warned Lot that he was in the place of danger. They warned Lot that he must allow nothing or no one hold him back from leaving that city. But in the final place this evening, these words here, escape for thy life, to Lot, also warned them that he would lose if he remained in the city, if he did not flee the city. They warned them that he would most surely lose. Look again what the angel said in verse 17 of Genesis 19. He said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. If he remained in Sodom, Lot would have lost all of his possessions. He would have lost everything. And friend, if you remain in your sin, if you remain unconverted, understand this tonight, you will lose before God. You will lose as far as eternity is concerned. You see, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. There's always loss for those who go on in sin and remain unconverted before God. You remember the young man, the prodigal son, who left his home and spent his substance and riotous living. And the Bible says he began to be in want. You see, he lost out. Sin reaped a bitter harvest for him. He lost out. And in the world tonight, it is full of people's lives who are shipwrecked tonight. Shipwrecked because of sin. People have lost their home. They've lost their business. They've lost family and friends and liberty and happiness and dignity and purity and sanity. And it's all because of sin. Sin reaps a bitter harvest. Friend, if you continue on unrepentant, understand this, that you will lose. You will suffer great loss. You see, the Lord says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. And there the devil, the Lord was warning about the devil and the awful ravages of sin and the works of darkness and of the evil one and of life. The Bible says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Friend, sin and Satan will rob you of all that is good. And my, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, every earthly treasure that you have will be burned up, just as it was with that in Sodom. The Bible speaks of the return of the Lord, and it speaks of this world and says the works therein shall be burned up. You'll lose. Yes, if he remained in Sodom, he would lose his possessions. You know, also, if Lot was to remain in Sodom, he would lose his very life. He would have lost his life if he had stayed in Sodom. And likewise, friend, if you remain unconverted and you die in your sin and are still unsaved when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, you'll perish. Your soul will be lost forever in hell. Remember the rich man that Jesus speaks to you about in Luke's Gospel 16, who died unsaved, Jesus said, and he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He was lost forever in a lost sinner's hell. The Bible speaks of the return of Christ and speaks of those who are unsaved when the Lord comes back again. And it says they shall be punished with everlasting destruction. You turn in your Bible over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and the verse number 35 and verse number 36. Here the Lord brings it out very clearly that those who remain unsaved, unconverted, go on in sin, heedless and careless of their soul, will suffer great loss. Look at what he says at the beginning of verse 35 of Mark chapter 8 and verse number 36. He says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." In other words, the Lord is saying the person that goes on there unrepentant, living for self and for sin, they will lose out as far as God is concerned. Verse 36, he says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" There's always loss for those who go on in sin and go on unrepentant. If Lot was to stay in Sodom, he would lose his possessions. He would lose his very life. You know, if Lot was to remain in Sodom, he would perish, yes. And he would perish in the company of the ungodly Sodomites of that particular city. Friend, you may live, yes, a moral, upright, clean life, so to speak. But let me say this, if you perish in your sin and you die unsaved, you will be in hell forever. And what will your company be like in hell? You'll be in the eternal company of the most vilest of sinners. You'll be in the eternal company of the devil and all his angels and all his demons and every Christ rejecter. You'll be in that place for all of eternity, where every restraint of God is removed. You'll be in the place of the eternal curse. For what did the Lord Jesus say? He would say to all who would come before him in the day of judgment unsaved, without his salvation, they would hear that awful sentence from his lips, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Friend, if you die unsaved, you'll be in the company of the ungodly, of the devil, of all his angels, of every Christ rejecter, of the vilest of sinners that this world has ever known. That is where you will spend eternity if you die unsaved. And you'll leave this world without God's so great salvation. You know, also tonight we can say that if Lot remained in the city of Sodom and perish, he would perish despite being warned of God. And he would perish despite knowing great favor from God. Yes, he was warned what was going to happen. You go back there to Genesis chapter 19 and look at the verse number 13. You see the warning was very clear to him. And the message from the Lord's angel was this: "We will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord have sent us to destroy it." The warning was clear: "We will destroy this place." And then he was also highly favored. How was Lot highly favored? Yes, he was warned of God, but his favor also was in the fact that he was prayed for. Who prayed for him? He was prayed for by Abraham. You go back to Genesis chapter 18 and the verses 22 and verses 23, you'll see reference to this, that Abraham prayed for Lot. Genesis 18 verses 22 and 23, it says, "And the men turned their faces from hence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Who was Abraham praying for there? Especially, he was praying for Lot. If Lot was to remain in Sodom, if he was to perish in Sodom, he would do so despite being warned of God. He would do so despite being highly favored by God, in that Abraham prayed for him, prayed for his deliverance out of that awful overthrow. and out of that awful place of judgment. Friend, understand this tonight, that if you perish in your sin, it will be against the warnings of God. God, yes, has warned you tonight, but how many other times has God not warned you from this pulpit or from maybe some other pulpit or through the witness of some other faithful Christian or faithful believer in the Lord? How many warnings have you not had to get saved and get right with God from the very day you were born and came to the years of understanding? And also, friend, if you go on unrepentant and you perish in your sin, my, it will be against the prayers of God's people. For God's people are praying for you, dear unsaved friend, that you would get saved, that you would get right with God, that you'd repent of your sin, and that you'd turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. What a mercy it is to have someone to pray for you, to plead your name before the throne of grace and prayer, to plead with God that God would have mercy upon your soul, that God would save your soul. Friend, there's no greater mercy than to have someone or a group of people or God's people to pray for your soul, to pray for your salvation. Oh, do not sin against the warnings of God. Do not sin against the prayers of God's people. Friend unsaved, I urge you tonight to heed the warning voice of God. My, yield to the witness of the prayers of God's people and flee from the wrath to come. Our text says, escape for thy life. Friend, flee from the wrath to come by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Notice the final words there, verse 17. It says, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. That points us to the Mount of Calvary, the cross work of Christ, where Jesus suffered and bled and died for sinners. If you are to escape for your life from the wrath to come, you must flee to Calvary's mountain. You must flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of sinners, the Savior of sinners. You must put your faith and your trust in Him alone. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl, unsaved, the good news of the gospel is this, that Christ Himself invites you. He calls you. He beckons you in His word to come to Him for salvation. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The hymn writer says, I'm coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I am counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find. Christ says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Come just as you are to Christ, the Lamb of God. Heed the warning voice of God. Escape for your life. Put your faith and trust in Christ. Know your sins forgiven. Know what it is to be saved from the wrath to come. Know what it is to be sure of God's salvation and to be ready for heaven through faith, the atoning blood of Christ as your dear Redeemer.